On this Trinity Sunday, we as Christians rejoice that the fullness of revelation has been made through Christ to us. Jews, Muslims, and Christians, the three world religions, all believe in God, but only Christians believe that God is a trinity of persons, or the triune God, which doesn't mean, as some people think, there are three parts to God. I suppose the three-leaf clover makes one think, or lends one to think in that regard, but the actual reality is quite different. That's a tool, a catechetical tool to help people realize that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, are equally God, or rather equally partake of the divine nature. Three persons, one nature, and that's divine. And for that reason, in the Gospel of this weekend, we read the apostolic mandate. Matthew presents us with that great apostolic mandate. The mandate is the mandatum, or the command of Christ to the apostles to go and preach and teach in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Christ could have said, but didn't, in the names, because there's three persons, you'd expect three names. But no, this is a very clear indication of the triune dogma. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons, not people, are equally God. That's why the word name is in the singular and not in the plural, because they are partakers of the divine nature, equal, substantial, united, but not made up of three parts. This truth that there are three persons in the Trinity who are equally God is a mystery unveiled, revealed to us by God Himself through Jesus Christ. As we read in the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, the spirit you received is not the spirit of slaves, but the Spirit makes you cry out, Abba, Father. This is the Spirit that teaches us all about Christ, sent by God the Father and the Son. We believe these truths because Christ has taught them. And Christ is God, and God cannot lie. And although they're mysteries, it doesn't mean they're incompatible with human reason or philosophical logic. They are mysteries which are above a human understanding or reason, just like a pair of binoculars or a telescope are above our natural vision, not in contrast, not in competition with, but rather a form of elevation of. These tools or instruments enable the human eye to see far into the distance, which is naturally impossible. For so too, these truths are incompatible with our natural reasoning, but above our reasoning, enable us to see into the vast arrays of heaven, enabling us to see and worship the fullness of God as He is, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Rather than use the three-leaf clover, which is somewhat flawed as a catechetical tool to help our children understand and believe this mystery of our faith, I think the H2O, the water, analysis is better. H2O is a scientific fact. That's the chemical compound of water. Two hydrogen atoms and oxygen. That's the substance or the nature of water. The word nature here is important. That's the nature of water, but the form of water, or individual water, can come to us in three forms or kinds: solid, liquid, gas, ice in the fridge, water from the tap, steam from the kettle. Each form of water is of the same substance, the same chemical compound. Yet look how vastly different it is, the ice to the running water to the steam. Well, so too, in God, the nature or the substance of God is the same. Yet the Father is distinct to the Son, and the Son is distinct to the Holy Spirit. So that's one way we can grapple with or try and push this mystery into our minds so that we can live it out and love it as it is. The world today, especially in Australia, is in need of clarity regarding God, who He is. He's not a Santa Claus in heaven giving us what we want. He's not an absentee landlord who set up the world and doesn't really care about us, hence the suffering and pain. God is neither of those two. God is a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father is the thought, the Word. The Word is the Son who's made known the Father. The Word is the utterance of my thoughts in my head. And the Holy Spirit's the bond that unites these two together, that enables me to want to know God and to love Him. The Holy Spirit's the manifestation of God within. We believe this because the church has taught it. And it took many centuries for the church to nut out, or rather theologically allocate, the correct words to explain this mystery of our faith. It's not a word itself that we find in the Bible. The word Trinity comes from church teaching, as does the Nicene Creed, which we'll stand and profess within a few moments. It's not a nice creed, but rather the creed written at Nicaea, a locality where people gathered, bishops, to profess what we believe today, that the Father and the Son are equally God, that Christ is God and man, having taken His human nature from the Mother, Mary, the Virgin Mary. We believe this because the Church has taught it. We believe this because Christ has professed it. And Christ is God, and God cannot lie. Let us have clear reasoning in our own mind on this great feast, this solemnity of the Holy Trinity. So when we meet people who don't know God, who perhaps claim to be atheists but are actually agnostics — most Australians are agnostic, that is, they just don't know anything about God. They have a state of indifference, passivity. Atheists are people who have actual arguments to try and intellectually persuade them against God's existence. There's not that many of them. Agnosticism is sadly far too common. We can burst the bubble of their disbelief, we can clarify the fog in their mind, but having a clear possession of these truths in our own. Let us therefore pray, as we always do at Mass, to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they might enable us on this great day to possess clarity and coherency in our words and in our deeds, so that our words and the way we live manifest the belief that Christ has given us. Praise be Jesus Christ.